Dear friends, we gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation.
May we always dwell in this land of respect and peace.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the light of the world. Free us from all that darkens and ensnares us, and bring us to eternal light and joy. Through the power of him who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the prophet Malachi. See, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
De vous tenir à distance de tout frère qui mène une vie désordonnée est contraire à la tradition que vous avez reçue de nous. Vous vous savez bien comment il faut nous imiter. Nous n'avons pas vécu parmi nous d'une manière désordonnée. Nous n'avons demandé à personne de nous donner le pain que nous n'avons mangé, mais dans la peine et la fatigue. De nuit et jour, nous avons travaillé pour n'être à la charge d'aucun de vous. Bien sûr, nous avions le droit, mais nous avons voulu être pour vous un exemple à imiter. En effet, lorsque nous étions près de vous, nous vous donnions cet ordre. Si quelqu'un ne veut pas travailler, qu'il ne mange pas non plus. Or, nous attendons dire qu'il y en a parmi vous qui mènent une vie désordonnée, affairés sans rien faire. À ces gens-là, nous adressons dans le Seigneur Jésus-Christ cet ordre et cette exhortation qu'ils travaillent dans le calme et qu'ils mangent le pain qu'ils auront eux-mêmes gagné. Quant à vous, frères, ne vous laissez pas de faire le bien. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
God be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus.
When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'The time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and plagues. And there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons. And you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance. For I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May I speak to you in the name of the Creator, the God who loves us. Amen. This is the assigned day of the stewardship sermon. The sermon where we echo Mary's words, "Tell out my soul," about the wonders and joys of the Lord. And I feel myself challenged by the readings, because we have begun about a month of the doomiest and gloomiest in some of these readings. And it is what the season does. We will emerge at how the birth of Jesus is a response to doom and gloom, but first we get to feel it. And if you wonder what the logic is, we're committed to reading from all of the scriptures, and we have a 3-year cycle, so it's in there. It has to happen sometime. It's happening now. And so to get to the tell out my soul, the good and glorious news, I've got to start from what we read about destruction. And so let me take you to the joy by way of the doom and gloom. Jesus is telling about a time where the temple will be pulled down and destroyed. And that had not happened in his time. In fact, there were walls with plaques on them dedicating things. It was beautiful because King Herod had spent a lot of money on rebuilding. And everyone thought this was fantastic because you need a place to be. And even if it was a tyrant who built it, it was a place to be together. It was important. And yet Jesus says it will all be torn down. And it was, but it was not in Jesus' time. It was in the year 70. That's when the attack by the Romans on Jerusalem leveled everything. And we may wonder if Jesus said it and they therefore deliberately remembered it to put it in the manuscript because the manuscript was finished after the year 70, or if they wanted to make sure he did say it, so we're going to put it in anyway. It's lost in the mists of time, but we know it's true. They knew it's true that civilizations seem to be layer upon layer. In many Middle Eastern and European cities, the street level is well above
the actual level of the original buildings. And in fact, first floor big door entrances later became basement entrances that were closed up, and second floor windows were opened up to be big doors. And you can see this in buildings if you go on tour. There's one in Jerusalem where the main shopping street is well below the street level because they've excavated it out. History is in layers, and so the layers that were pulled down in the year 70, another renewed city was built on those in Jerusalem. And who's to say that our city will one day be a layer, which can be excavated, and above it will be further layers of civilizations, in which case these stones or boards might be pulled down and not be up anymore. And this, you could even go back further in history and say this about the whole unfolding geologically of the earth. So there are layers down of sedimentary rocks, and below them other kinds of rocks. We can imagine that everyone has known that, you know, there are going to be layers on top of layers, and let's not have too much hubris about how special we are in our special time and place. Our layer right now may become one that people excavate, and they'll agree with what people now call the Anthropocene Age. That's a Greek word that means human. That someday, when there's no longer life as we know it on the earth, there will be a layer that has radiation isotopes and microplastics, and people will excavate and say there was a civilization on that planet because only human processes could have made this stuff. If you read popular science magazines, people are speculating, well, in that case, you know, habitable exoplanets out in the universe, they may not have life on them now, but maybe we can find that there were layers of, you know, intelligent life below, because they'll have their own Anthropocene chemical signatures. And so people have said, well, okay, well, in that case, maybe there's another layer beneath all of our civilizations which showed that there was even an earlier civilization. So people are speculating about these kinds of things. But in the end, it says we are to be humble about what we have, that it might not always be here. There are some people of more of a religious fundamentalist persuasion who would actually say, well, if it's all going to end up anyway, let's accelerate the process and bring it to its end, because those of us who are righteous will be swooshed on up into heaven. Now, would anyone be worthy to be swooshed up is a good question. But I think it's a false god, a small g god, that would call people to that. Our God, our capital G God, calls us to, did you love your neighbor as yourself? Did you feed the hungry? Did you visit the people in prison as if they were Jesus? That's what our God calls us to. So to come to the stewardship part of the sermon, I've had to reflect on my own personal journey of stewardship. That when I give, what is it that is prompting me to? Why do I want to do that? So I'm going to go into some of my memories of how I came to give an offering to the church. My earliest memory is my mother giving us each a quarter. And we were sitting in the pews. And when you're a 3 or 4 year old, sitting in the pews is quite boring. That quarter would get rolled around in my hand. It would get stuffed into the hymn book, and then I would find it. It would roll down the aisle and make a big noise, and my mother's head would probably go like this. A quarter was a lot more than it is today, and gradually she graduated to giving us a dollar bill because it wouldn't make this noise. But it was a long time before I was back in church and the collection plate went by and I was a young adult wondering, oh, what shall I do now? It was before the time when you could go with your bank card to an automatic withdrawal machine. So I would look in my wallet and think, well, I'm going to need this, so I can't give this. And out would come this very small amount to put in the plate. And I did that for a really long time. Even after he had a bank card that could go to a withdrawal machine, I would look at what I had in there and think, okay, I need to keep this for later and give a small amount. The liberating thing for me was when I first did automatic withdrawal. I did it for $25. Now, nowadays, $25 will just buy you a lunch. But I did it for $25 a month, and it was liberating because then I didn't have to look at my wallet anymore and think, okay, I need this for later. It just happened automatically, and I stopped seeing it. And if you're at the beginning of deciding what to give in your church, it's still a good amount. It's like a lunch, and you'll hardly notice it, and you'll be supporting your church. But my thinking evolved after I was ordained. I thought, you know, body, mind, and spirit. I care about fitness, and my gym membership is $70. And so maybe my spiritual health is worth as much as my physical health. So I'll make it 75. So I made my automatic withdrawal $75 a month. And it's grown since then. You know, each year we have a stewardship campaign and there's an ask and you have to think about it. But this year, I come to a different reason. We are surrounded by media of anxiety and negative messages. And I realized how susceptible I am to take these negative messages in as doubt, as fear, as, well, that's the way of the world, I have to live by it. And I realized I need a place that doesn't reinforce negative messages. I need to be surrounded by people where we say things that are hopeful. I could always do a news blackout, but I think I actually want to know what's going on. I just need something to keep me hopeful. And I need it to come from people. So I'm not worried about the plaques on the wall here. I'm focused on, we need a place where I can hear messages that tell me my identity is more than the negatives of the world around me. I need my identity to be shaped by the capital G God of, did you love your neighbor as yourself? Not the small g false God of, I'm gonna get swooshed into heaven because I'm better than everyone else. I need the God of love. And so, tell out my soul, as we've called this annual time this year, is about hearing your stories because they reinforce in me that I can have hope that we're making a different message, a different identity than the cruelty that we hear around us in the world. I want to finish with a quote from James Baldwin. James Baldwin was an African-American leader in the United States. He wrote essays to challenge the status quo. And this is one thing he said in his essay, Nothing Personal. He said, "The longer I live, the more deeply I learn that love, whether we call it friendship or family or romance, is the work of mirroring and magnifying each other's light. I need you to mirror your light to me, and I'm going to do my best to mirror light back to you, because that helps to keep our focus on the real, true God of loving your neighbor as yourself. And we need to come together like this so that we don't give in to that negative script. We know about the God of love because we come here to be together and remind ourselves. Let there be light. Amen.
Today, the psalmist tells us that the Lord remembers his mercy and faithfulness to his people. We offer these prayers secure in the knowledge that the Lord hears our petitions. We pray for the life of the earth. May every nation seek the ways that lead to peace, that human rights and freedoms may everywhere be respected, and the world's resources may be ungrudgingly shared and carefully protected. Send your spirit to guide the leaders of the world to build rather than destroy, to love rather than hate. We pray for all those in every country weighed down by war, hunger, pain, betrayal, and injustice in this turbulent and increasingly violent world. Trusting in God's steadfast love and faithfulness, we sing. Doug and Francois, our premiers, Maud and Mark, our mayors, and for all who live here in Canada, that none may exploit others and none be neglected or forgotten, and all may work for our common good, for the good of our common life and welfare. Trusting in God's steadfast love and faithfulness, we sing. Church throughout the world, for skeptics and believers alike, and for all those who seek God at home, at work, in the streets, and in the pews, for all who search for life in its fullness. Trusting in God's steadfast love and faithfulness, we sing. For Anne, our Metropolitan, Chris, our National Indigenous Bishop, and Michael, Diocesan Administrator. At St. John's, we pray for Gary, for all who minister, for all who lead, and for all who volunteer here. Trusting in God's steadfast love and faithfulness, we sing. Suffering in body, in mind, or spirit. In our parish today, we pray for Margaret, Moira, Sandy, Doug, and Jill. In their weakness and need, may they know your strength and comfort. Trusting in God's steadfast love and faithfulness, we sing. Faithful servants, that death may be for them the gate to life and to unending fellowship with you. Today we remember the family of Joe Cassie and also Mitzi Campbell, in whose memory Wendy McCutcheon has given the flowers today. Trusting in God's steadfast love and faithfulness, we sing. Your spirit to make us people who build your kingdom. Take and use our strength for your goodness and your truth. Father, accept all our prayers, both silent and spoken this day. Amen.
As our Savior taught us, let us pray.
Forever and ever. Amen.
God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be amongst you this day and always. Through Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen.
to love and serve the Lord.